Welcome to the ISF Podcast from the Information Security Forum. The ISF Podcast is hosted by ISF CEO Steve Durbin, and every episode he brings listeners features timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. This week, Steve and I are going to have a conversation about the constantly changing world of risk, what security can do to prepare for and mitigate risk, the role of the business leader, and the impact of risk management on strategy and business direction. So just another nice casual conversation about the ever-increasing intensity of the threat landscape, exactly as our podcast audience has come to expect. Steve, it's really nice to see you. Thanks for being here with us for this conversation.
It's nice to see you as well, Tavia.
Thank you. So let's get into it. The current threat landscape has huge issues looming on the horizon. And, you know, when you sent me a relatively long list of themes that you might like to discuss this week, I noticed that they all boil down to one of the items on the list, and that's business interruption. Is that fair to say that that is the link between all of those themes?
I think it is. I mean, you know, when we talk about cyber incidents, we talk about changes in regulation, we worry about natural disasters, all sorts of catastrophic political and economic scenarios, even the skill shortage, which people are increasingly talking to me about these days. It really does all come back to what these incidents and different scenarios actually mean for an organization that wants to try to continue to operate smoothly, to continue to provide service to its customer base. And, you know, if we look back, well, obviously COVID, that was a pretty extreme example of business interruption. And we all scrambled and managed to adapt, some better than others. But my point there is that we've been through that particular experience and come out the other side, hopefully with some good learnings that we're continuing to put into practice. And I think that we did see and have seen some improvements in terms of things like diversifying the different business models, trying to introduce a more robust approach to things like the supply chain. And hopefully that will all make us much more resilient in the face of another similar kind of instance should that take place. But I think, you know, that we all realize in the world that we now live in, something similarly disruptive but in a totally different way could easily happen again. We've seen more recently, of course, the war in the Ukraine, which has been hugely disruptive. Mm-hmm. And that could be a cyber incident that affects perhaps, you know, only one organization. Or it could be something much bigger like climate change that affects pretty much every industry across every nation. So things will continue to disrupt, and we need to better equip ourselves, I think, across our enterprise and across our supply chains and across, perhaps most importantly, our people to be able to respond effectively to those different changes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it feels sometimes like we're moving from crisis to crisis and just always trying to steer a business through a minefield. And this is really the crux of it, that in the current day, we need to be able to manage so many risks and manage all of them at once. It's increasingly complicated. So what counsel does the ISF offer when it comes to navigating these rough waters? What can we do?
Well, it's a very, very good question. It's one that I get asked very often. And I think we've got to be realistic. You know, there are going to be some things that we can control, and there are going to be some things that we simply can't. And first of all, we've got to set that proper expectation. You know, we can't stop, for instance, an earthquake from happening. But what we can do is try to make sure that our only cloud storage isn't located on the San Andreas Fault. And when you put it like that, it sounds like common sense. But actually, the degree of complexity that we've introduced into businesses today, when it comes to things like technology, when it comes to cyber, and of course, security, is perhaps blurring some of that. And very often, when I talk to boards and senior directors in organizations, I see that blurring. And that, I think, is where a lot of the confusion comes from. And from a security standpoint, we're probably not the best at demystifying some of that. And so we continue to try to present things in what might be seen as being quite a complex way. So what I really do think that we can and must do is to simplify. It is about taking a look very specifically at what is going to be a real showstopper for our organizations, and almost putting aside some of the technobabble that goes with that and stripping it right the way back. And I do see much more of a demand in boardrooms in particular for some of that simplicity, some of that clarity of thinking. And I've tried some of this with some of the ISF member boards that I interact with. And what I've particularly found is that once we do get back to, as I say, basics, and we start talking about the things that are going to be impacting business and could potentially be showstoppers, the richness of conversation increases significantly. That's the first thing. But secondly, it becomes a lot easier then to understand some of the mitigators that we can put in place. And also the issue of technology and cyber doesn't get in the way. And I think if we flip that the other way and we start talking about things like cyber incidents, what we have to do to increase cyber security, then we almost increase the complexity unnecessarily. So, you know, we've talked many times about how when it comes to cyber incidents, for instance, it's not if, it's when. And right. So I think, again, it's about looking very much harder at what the implications might be of business disruption. And the disruptor, yes, of course, is cyber. But the main issue to focus on is the business disruption. And I think if we can get back to that, that simplifies it hugely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I've just been saying, boards and business leaders certainly need, and indeed I think want, to understand better what a cyber incident, a cyber event means for their organization from the business standpoint. And they should be presented with a cyber posture that resonates with that frame of reference and, very importantly, with the expectations that they're going to have to meet from customers and increasingly, of course, from regulators and legal authorities.
Mm-hmm. So what can CISOs and security leaders do to achieve that?
Well, I think we have to look at what is it that the board and senior leadership are looking for. And really, they're looking for assurance. They're looking for assurance that the organization is prepared for the next unexpected crisis, whatever that might be. They need to see that there is a degree of situational awareness across the organization. And when I say organization, I do mean the extended organization. So it's not just within the enterprise that we control perhaps on a daily basis. It's the extended enterprise. So I'm taking into account here things like customers, things like suppliers. And they're expecting that basic cyber protection measures across that expanded real estate, if you like, are in place that will in turn support a resilient approach to dealing with these situations. And so security leaders need to show the board and the C-suite that information risk management methods are being applied, that they are proven, that they are effective, and that good practice is in place when it comes to security governance. And if they can do that, as I say, by relating it back to what the business has to do on a day-to-day basis, then most of the battle is already won.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit more. Are there particular best practices or performance indicators that you see security leaders could use to show the board that these things are being done properly and proactively?
Sure. I mean, for me, cyber leaders have to present security issues in terms that board-level executives can understand and indeed, perhaps more importantly, can act upon. So I would definitely recommend that they report anything to do with cyber risk in financial, economic, and if nothing else, in operational terms. So not just, perhaps not even in technical terms.
We've talked about that before. I think the skill of cyber leaders to tell stories, to adjust language based on the audience, to be very tailored and not to get into that technical speak. So I like that you're underscoring the importance of having technical knowledge, but having the facility to not use that kind of off-putting language sometimes when you're communicating to the board. So it seems like it's also less about what network security plans you're going to implement and more about those financial and economic results when those plans are implemented.
Yeah, that's right. And how security allows the business to align with its own values and those of its customers. You know, leaders need to align cyber risk management with business needs. And they need to do that by identifying how cyber risk management and resilience help to meet business objectives.
Mm-hmm. And understanding that a cyber attack isn't a board issue because it's expensive, but it's a board issue because it's going to make headlines. It's going to undermine customers' trust in online systems. It's going to threaten a business's brand and the future company direction.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, that's exactly the point. Of course, it is going to be expensive as well, but the distraction that it's going to be providing in terms of just the amount of time that's going to be taken up by senior leadership, right the way down through an organization, you know, that needs to be factored into it as well, in addition to all of the things that you've just mentioned. And so security leaders need to consider all of those things and spend time formulating them so they can present effectively to the board about this. So we've got this overall understanding of what the impact could be and indeed what we're going to do in order to try to prevent that happening in the first place, but perhaps very much more importantly, to mitigate the impact of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, there are a few questions that they really need to ask themselves. So first, you know, how does cybersecurity support business priorities, such as attracting, retaining customers, maintaining or growing competitive advantage, fostering innovation, whatever it happens to be within your specific organization? And it will vary depending on the line of business that you happen to be in. But it's about really trying to pin the cyber component with the business priority so that mm-hmm. there is this total alignment. And I always recommend starting actually with the overall business strategy and then working back from that through things like operating plans and then matching up the role that cyber and technology and other components have to play in achieving that overall strategic direction.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of an interview that we did Season 11 with Mark Rawls. You'll remember that he talked about the FUD approach to talking to the board, especially when you're asking for resources. So you can come to the board with all the fear and uncertainty and doubt that they should be feeling, all of the threats. But his point was that only takes you so far. Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah, I do. And I think he made some interesting points there. And of course, if anybody listening wants to go back and revisit that, then that is still live on our website. I think the other point that he made was that, which I would completely endorse, is that you need to show your worth as part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, after that, CISOs should really be asking themselves, you know, if the worst happened, could senior leaders really honestly tell customers or partners or increasingly regulators that they'd done everything that was reasonably expected? They also need to be asking, and this is very important because of the speed at which everything changes in this space, are we actually prepared for the future? You know, are we discussing our cybersecurity induced risks and evaluating plans to manage those risks on an ongoing basis? One of the things I was talking about just the other week to a group of board directors was about the need to actually formulate a strategy for dealing with things like ransomware, which will include a discussion across the organization, across different boards, as to whether or not payment is an option.
Right.
And that's a very sensitive topic because, of course, depending on which part of the world you're in, there is legislation in certain areas. But as a board, you know, everybody needs to be comfortable with the position that they're taking there.
Yeah.
And that took us into a discussion as well around things like cyber insurance. Does that have an effective role? And if so, how do you actually manage that? And again, if we go back to some of our previous podcasts, you know, discussions that you and I have had, you'll know that I'm not a big fan of cyber insurance
mm-hmm.
for the simple fact that I don't believe you can insure effectively against the kind of things that we so often talk about when it comes
right.
to cyber. And so it can be a bit of a distraction because you feel you've got something of a safety net, but the reality is that you actually haven't. Now, right. I've probably just upset a whole pile of insurance companies that are out there trying,
love
to,
insurance companies.
Trying to sell cyber.
They're our favorite.
that's right. It's a personal view, I hasten to add, not an ISF view. So, all of those things come into play. But fundamentally, it's about how do we go about validating our understanding of information risks and how they're managed. And looking to the future, should an organization or a board be changing its approach in order to remain relevant? Those are the fundamentals that we need to be addressing on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just interject. It's like we just got a little examination of your cyber conscience or your cyber brain. I think what you're saying is cyber insurance is not the problem. It's people thinking that they have done their part. We're insured, and then we can kind of tune out now because we have this policy. So I think it's your objection is more about people staying vigilant and doing a number of things to mitigate risk, and that's not the one thing that they can do one and done.
No, that's absolutely right. It's like car insurance. The fact you've got car insurance doesn't mean that you can jump behind the wheel of a car and drive like a lunatic. You still have to take responsibility. The insurance is there should something go wrong, and it's still going to be an awfully painful process to get the full return that you'd anticipated. So better not to have the accident in the first place.
Right, exactly. We are talking about cybersecurity maturing as an industry, and the questions that you posed are a really big part of a maturing industry. We've been talking about things like this for years, literally for years, but it's really feeling like the momentum is continuing in that direction. Is that right?
I would say so. I think that, I still make this point that I do believe that the industry is still very, very immature. And, some of the characteristics of immature industries is that they change very quickly. Mm. Some of the premises upon which things were based will alter over time. And so I think that it isn't something that we can afford to just look at once every 12 months from a business standpoint, for instance. Mm-hmm. If you look at the issue of resilience, and everybody talks about resilience today, resilience, the ability to keep on functioning, needs to be the number one business priority. To do that effectively, we have to focus on what the biggest risk might be first, how to prepare to recover from the damage should that situation arise, and then move on progressively down the list of particular risk issues. And this is where having cyber and the implications of different risk relating to it sitting on a board's risk register can really help, mm-hmm. because it draws attention back all the time. But the fundamental in that area is really trying to prepare the organization to respond and recover with minimal damage, with minimal cost, and with maximum reputational impact.
Mm-hmm. Other suggestions for considerations that security leaders should bring into board activities to mitigate risk?
I think that, again, there is always going to be an element of governance and compliance that we have to discuss at the board level. Mm-hmm. It goes without saying that you have to have a sound governance framework. And last year in 2022, the SEC proposed a number of recommendations for cybersecurity risk management, governance and disclosure for public companies, really to try to emphasize the point that boards must have a much clearer oversight of cybersecurity risk and include explicit cybersecurity expertise on the board, whether or not that is as an employee or indeed as a perhaps a non-executive director or third-party support. But I think those were particularly good recommendations in terms of trying to at least set some pretty strong guidelines as to what the expectation is, mm-hmm. for public companies from the SEC. So yes, I would say, firm governance and compliance and oversight on both of those areas is absolutely fundamental.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that SEC proposition sounds like a step in the right direction. What about supply chain management, supply chain integrity? What's your advice around that?
Yeah, supply chain, the risk there is pretty much all pervasive, isn't it? So organizations need to assess what is the supply chain risk from potential cybersecurity incidents? What are we able to do about it so we don't lose a day of production? Which again is a good way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. And I think the other really important piece is that there is a huge role, I can't really overemphasize this, a huge role for businesses to communicate regularly with their key suppliers and to review potential exposure to new threats with them, not just in isolation. And then I think, you know, once you get into the area of things like technology and services as well, businesses need to keep technology risk within acceptable limits. And that, of course, needs to be set according to the risk appetite of the board and the business. Mm. But, you know, an example would be stress testing data centers, for instance, mm-hmm. Cloud providers, networks, backup facilities, against simple things like, you know, digital transformation. And then you come on to the people component. And we've talked a lot about that in the past too. But the world of work has changed. And policies and procedures, yes, of course, they need to reflect that. But what we're also starting to see now, which I think is even more worrying, is what is being recognized as change fatigue. So we've come through things like COVID. We've come through things like hybrid working. Mm. We've come through this back to normal, which is nowhere near what normal used to be and indeed never will be. And we're now throwing more technology at people. And all of that is, frankly, exhausting. And change fatigue, you know, does have a very significant impact negatively on an organization's ability to be effective, because your people are at best distracted by all of these things that are going on. And so I think we do need somehow to recognize that and to introduce almost a pause. Now, people listening to this will think, well, I can't, because, you know, I've got to deliver against targets, I've got stakeholders and so on. Mm-hmm. But it isn't about doing more. It's about, as I say, being very, I think, focused about what is going to make the most difference, rather than trying to do very many things. And I think just recognizing that this element of change fatigue does exist out there. And we're still not at a point, I would say, fortunately, where machines can take over and do all of this kind of work for us. You still need to have people at the end of it all. And so we need to just, as I say, step back a bit and realize that when we talk particularly about cybersecurity, it isn't all about technology. It isn't all about machinery and software. It is, in a lot of instances, about people. And people need to have a little bit more focus and time and attention than perhaps we sometimes give them credit for. And that takes us beyond the world of just policies and procedures. It is about having very clear accountability for risk at the people level. It is about working with other stakeholders who understand these things far better than CEOs might or business leaders. So HR, for instance, business psychologists, to support some of the change that's required to get us through and emerge from this period that we're going through at the moment of uncertainty. And as I say, is causing so much change fatigue.
Well, lots of food for thought and a lot of solutions offered. And obviously the future is uncertain, but it helps to see that there are strategies to mitigate risk. And I also just so appreciate that you always bring it back to humans, to human beings, human psychology, human needs. And this is a refreshing conversation, I think, because I heard you say simplify. You know, as the threat landscape just expands, as things do become more complex, more fatiguing, to remember the human element, it is all about human psychology, whether we're thinking about our board, our customers, our talent, come back to the human level and simplify, focus, prioritize. I think those are really, really helpful points to leave listeners with, and I appreciate it as always. So thanks for being here to walk us through this today.
We'll be back with a new episode next week. In the meantime, if you would take 10 seconds to pull up this podcast on whatever device you're listening, give us a 5-star rating and write a quick review, we'd be grateful. You can also listen to the ISF Analyst Insight podcast, which goes in-depth on the hottest topics in information security. In every episode, ISF analysts hand-select active security professionals from ISF member organizations to discuss how the implementation of ISF research is uniquely applied to their real-world context. We hope you'll listen. And of course, we'll put a link to that show in our show notes. If there's a topic or question that you'd like us to cover in a future episode, let us know at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find our catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert, with senior producer Katie Flood, mix and master by Kayla Elrod, music by Alexander Filipiak. Thanks for listening.